Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I never really knew that she could dance like this. She make a man want to speak Spanish. Como se llama? Bonita. Picasso.
Shakira, Shakira.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body.
Oh, now I want to open it up with a fart sound.
Just no, that was last week. You can't do it again.
Why?
Because then it's just then it will just become redundant.
What about a burping sound?
No foul sounds. Start the show nice.
Okay.
Nice.
When's the mic up thing?
We're already on.
Oh, we're on. Welcome to the show.
You leave me no time to edit these either, so they have to go on.
That's fine. That's good. Then people will get to see sort of, just the behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's really compelling.
Oh, really?
I do. I've always found the behind the scenes. That's what I think makes Kathy Lee and Hoda so cute is that it's just a constant train wreck. It is. It's like they're drunk. They're falling down. The mics are falling off. I love it. It's heaven. I mean, it's like my favorite. I'm not home that often, but it's like my favorite hour of the day. Whenever I'm home to catch that, like, Wino Wednesday, I'm in heaven.
I didn't know it was a regular bit.
Oh, my gosh. And it's like, that's like Thursday, Cocktail Tuesdays and Wino Wednesdays. And they're just boozing it up. And I mean, I don't know that they're making, I don't know that they're passing wind on the air like you are. But it's a fabulous show.
Oh, I'd like to see the ratings on that. Like,
it's
knows?
Doing well. No. It actually has done fantastic. It's so funny because... they were like, the 10th hour of, the 10 o'clock hour of the Today Show. How well is it going to do? You've been watching the show for 3 hours and it's done great.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, you're right. There is something to behind the scenes. There is something to behind the scenes.
See, so when you're belching and farting over
when
there
you're...
And airing it, that's compelling stuff. Oh. And it's very health related, I think, because we always tell people not to be ashamed of bodily functions.
You know what? We should do something. That's interesting. We got Dr. Van Hurley coming up later on today.
Mm, yeah.
But we should ask her about, not maybe not this particular time. We should ask her about that, though, the wind and things. Because some
gas.
People have excessive gas.
Gas? Oh. I bet it's a digestion thing.
I bet it is, too.
Yeah. We will inquire.
We will. I'm going to mark that down.
Am I
the gas show. Oh my god, I got a dirty old lady laugh.
You're like wheezing over there. You okay?
Yes.
We should get an oxygen tank for you.
No, when I get the big belly laugh, I get into that wheezy thing.
That was scary. I was like this. Uh-oh. I was like, I was like, son of Bruce Paul, would you call 911. For those of you who are just tuning in, our old engineer was named Paul, but I called him Bruce.
All the time.
And now his son is in here, but now he's son of Bruce Paul. Yeah. Say hello, son of Bruce Paul.
Hello, son of Bruce Paul.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, look how cute. No, his name is son of Bruce Paul.
Okay.
All right. So down to business. There's something I want to talk about. It's serious.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. So now the daytime shows, the doctors have been airing for, gosh, I mean, I guess by the time this is up and available, maybe a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks, possibly. And, okay, how can I say this? There's been a lot of uproar, just to put it lightly. A lot of uproar, a lot of scandal. You know, part of it is the fact that we've had more controversial hot topics. Everybody's kind of voicing opinions and things have gotten very heated and very passionate. But at the same time, I've noticed that the message I put out is never one of, what's the word I'm looking for? I want to say, I never turn around and say to somebody, oh, you know what? You're going through the drive-through and, you know, giving your kids McDonald's and Taco Bell and Kentucky Fried Chicken and all that. That's okay. I don't do that. I don't go, it's okay.
No, I've never heard you say
it's okay. And I don't say, oh, you know something? You're giving soda to your kids. It's okay. Or, oh, you know something? Just take the stairs. Oh, you know, you can barely manage to... Oh, you're overweight. Oh, it's a medical condition. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, you're like, enabling. That's enabling.
Well, okay. For example, we did a segment on overweight individuals. Should they pay more for health insurance? Now, hear me out on this, okay? So the hosts of my show, they were very, very, they're doctors. They were very politically correct. And they were like, no, that's discrimination. And, you know, it's not a choice. I've worked with thousands of people who have weight issues, and there's never been one person that I haven't worked with that I haven't been able to get weight off of physically. Now, they may have rebounded emotionally and gained some weight back, but my point is that physically, you can get weight off of somebody. I don't want to hear about your thyroid. I suffered with a thyroid condition. The truth of the matter is that most thyroid issues can be corrected with proper diet and lifestyle. If not, a doctor can put you on medication. And generally, a thyroid condition equates to being maybe 15 pounds overweight. Not 50, not 100. So I turn around and I look at this and I say, all right, well, healthcare is like 18% of our budget, our national budget. And we pay for it with our tax dollars. So if somebody's really healthy and they're taking care of themselves and somebody else is not, period, end of story, well, we're paying for when they go to the hospital and they, you know, they need the chemotherapy or the quadruple bypass, because most likely the truth of the matter is they're probably not insured. If they're not insured, if they are insured, all of our premiums are going up. It affects the entire American population. So I turn around and I say, I do think they should pay more for health insurance than a person that's healthy. I get it. It's a really controversial point of view. I don't actually understand why, though. Can you explain to me why it's a controversial point of view? Because then the doctors jump in and they start saying to me, Jillian, you know, no one can help. They can't help it. I don't even understand that message. So it's as though you're saying to the viewer, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. You know, don't be intimidated. Don't be overwhelmed. We don't want you to feel bad. You know, it's not your fault, but it is actually, it is your fault. If you're overweight, it's your fault. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm not saying you're any less valuable than anyone else, but if your health is bad, it's your fault. It's your fault. Unless you're a kid, because there are things you can do. You can wake up. You can deal with your issues. You can stop using food as a coping mechanism. You can choose to do the hard emotional work. You can choose to educate yourself about food, exercise. A different reality is possible for you. That is a fact. And yet no one wants to challenge the viewer and say, no, you know what? I do think you're living below your capability and your means. I think you could do more. I think you could be more. I think you could have more. And I don't think that's enough. I don't think it's good enough for you. Why is that not okay? I'm having a hard time in this medium because daytime is a medium where the hosts will always pander to mediocrity, as in, it's okay. You just do, you know, what you can, poor little thing. Mm. And I feel like it's sending a message to the viewer that they're weak, that they can't do more or they can't be more or they're not empowered to have more. Isn't the whole point that we're constantly growing and challenging ourselves and looking within and getting better, working to be better? I look at myself every day and go, boy, I sucked at that. Oof, I could do that better. I really need to grow up here. I've got major issues with this every day. And I don't think I'm ever, in fact, I know I will never be able to sell that message of it's okay. You know, you feed your kids crap. I get it. It's okay. I don't get it. I don't. Soda, for example, it's expensive. So I truly don't get it. It's not like you're saying, I can't afford to not feed my kids right. Soda. It's one thing if you're like, Jillian, I can't afford to go organic. I get now that I get. I get it. It's a real problem. It's something that I'm trying to help out on a federal level, you know, on a state level. I get that completely. We need policy change. I get it. But when it comes to should you or should you not feed your children soda? My answer is no. It's always going to be no because it's poison. It is bad for your kids. It's bad for you. But I'm never going to say to you, well, once in a while. Why once in a while? Now, I get it. Oh, my kid deserves a treat food. Sure they do. But let's make the differentiation between calories and chemicals. Mm. You want to give your kid a treat? Great. Give them a scoop of give them a couple squares of organic dark chocolate. Give them a scoop of organic ice cream. And the reason I say organic is so they don't get trans fats. They don't get high fructose corn syrup. They don't get hormones. They don't get antibiotics. That's why I say that, okay? Give them, sure, do you want to give them a treat food, something sweet? Go ahead. But a soda, that's not an answer. There's all kinds of chemicals in soda that destroy liver, bones, metabolism, biochemistry, you name it, it's bad for you. So I'm never going to say, yeah, you know what? It's okay. Give your kid the soda. And they were like, well, you don't want the viewer to feel bad about themselves. Oh my God. But I'm not saying feel bad about yourself. I'm not saying judge you. I'm saying just don't do it. It's bad. And by the way, since we're all strapped for cash these days, why spend the extra money on it? Mm. Give the kid water. I don't get. What am I missing? Can you help me with this?
Ratings.
Oh. That's important, isn't it?
Well, it could be an element as to why there's placation. Is that the word?
That's exactly what I feel like. That's what I feel like daytime is about and has been about, is almost placating people. And I can't do it. It's not my message. It's not who I am.
Are you going to watch somebody who's going to honestly, although, but look how it worked for you in other shows. I mean, your approach of not putting up with that BS and placating people, that worked very, so why does it work in some places and it doesn't work in others?
It's very different. Prime time, I realize I've discovered because I am learning, in prime time, the audience is a voyeur. They're watching me get confrontational with somebody else. Daytime, I'm talking to you. Now I've set my sights on you.
Yep,
you're in the crosshairs.
Yeah.
And so suddenly it's not like you're watching somebody else go through something or, you know, get confronted. Now I'm confronting you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I think that, you know, the viewer is also bringing judgment about it. There is no judgment. I am not judging anybody. I am simply saying, I think you can do this better. I think you could be better here. I think we can be better here. We as people can do better with this, can be better with this, can do and be more. And if we don't want to do and be more, what is the point of living? Isn't that the whole point? We're never, ever going to be happy all the time. You know, it's like you're not going to have days where you're always happy and you're always at peace. I've discovered as I've aged, this is a childish fantasy. But what we can have is more happiness than sadness. You know, we look at these issues and we learn from them and we grow. And then we have peace and we have happiness and something else comes up and we dig into it. And we learn and we grow and we have that much more wisdom and that much more depth and that much more meaning in our lives. But without the looking and without the challenge and without the growing and without the discussion, where's the meaning? I don't understand. I don't. Do you? Where do you stand on this, Janice?
Well, I think it's very scary to change.
Right.
And you're by saying to someone, you know what, I do think healthcare should be, you know, making a statement like that, which is pretty ballsy.
I know.
I mean, that's steel cojones right there. That's pretty ballsy to say that. Someone's going, how dare she? And we've got calls. They're asking about the same thing. How dare she say that? That's just not nice. That means I have to change. Don't you think it's about...
Okay, but here's the truth. What about all of us who are eating well and who are working out? Why do I have to pay because you made choices to be physically unhealthy?
It's a great point. No, I'm not
The truth is, I pay so much in tax dollars. I don't want to put my tax dollars towards your bad choices. I want to put my tax dollars into education. I choose for better education for my kids than to pay for your bad health choices. I don't understand why that's not okay. I'm not going to sit here and say that it is. I don't believe that it
is. Because you're not an enabler. You don't believe in that. I've never seen you enable. You certainly don't enable me. I'll tell you that right now.
You're nothing to be enabled about.
But you don't do that. So it goes against everything you're about. And they are enabling. They're enabling the viewer's behavior.
Right. That's how I feel. But then Travis said, he goes... Well, I don't believe in that, Jill. You can't punish people. And I was like, I don't understand. Why are we making this about punishment?
It's not punishment.
It's just like, okay, because it costs more for your health care, then you need to pay more. So I don't understand. We're talking about obesity, not somebody who is born with cancer or a genetic, you know, a medical issue. I don't believe that obesity is a medical issue until it becomes a medical issue, if that makes any sense. You're not obese because of a medical issue. You develop medical issues because you're obese. So,
and maybe that didn't come across. Maybe that didn't come across clear enough. Maybe it came across. You know, people hear what they want to hear.
No, it did. Trust me. Because then Travis said, no, it did. Because then Travis goes, well, what if it's medical? And I was like, Travis, what do you mean, what if it's medical? And we got into the thyroid conversation.
Okay.
And he said, well, I believe that we should do this where, you know, if you come in and you're healthy, you get rewarded. I go, so wait. So the healthy person's paying less because they're being rewarded. Yes. I go, well, now you're talking about semantics. The healthy person's still paying less than the person who's overweight. But you're saying that by making the person that's overweight pay more, it's punishment. But if you make the person who's healthy pay less, it's a reward. Then we never need to touch the thing about the person who's overweight. They just don't get the good driver benefit analogy. You never have to touch it. You never have to talk about it. We can sweep it under the rug. Mm-hmm. But it's the same thing. One person pays more than the other. Same thing. I'm wondering about this because if people aren't ready to hear it and they're not ready to look at it, boy, that's a problem. And again, never is there a statement of, this is not a punishment. This is a cause and effect for choices that we make. Plus, it has no statement on your value as a human or your deservedness as a person on this planet. That's something that we bring to the table. Those are our insecurities that we put on top of it.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, I just don't get it. For me, it's a constant looking, struggling, growing, exploring, And if we don't do that, where is the meaning? What is the point? I don't know. That's what I got to say about this. I guess we'll take some of those questions then if you can get those callers on the phone. Because I'll be curious to see how that goes today.
A couple people are quite upset.
Uh-oh. Well, it won't be the first time.
No.
Won't be the first time.
I've known you for quite a while now, and I've seen you ride these waves. Because you stir it up. And I think it's, thank God you do stir it up. Somebody's got to stir it up.
Right.
Sweet.
Don't they?
Lord on a cross.
Someone's got to stir it up. We need change. I think we need change on so many different levels. Change is good. Change is healthy. That's what's so strange about change is it's the thing that we all yearn for the most, right? Change your life. We want to change our profession, or we want to change our family, as in you want kids. You want to be married. You want to be in love. You want to improve these various aspects of your life, whether it's personal or professional or health related. Well, that's improvement equals change. You have to change to improve. And it's a constant evolution of improvement. It's not something to be scared of. And it is, for some reason, the very thing that we yearn for the most is the very thing that we're the most terrified of. On a primal level, and I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to stop doing this or talking this way. And it doesn't mean that I won't be convinced my opinion is wrong. You know, someone might convince me my opinion is wrong. That's happened many times before.
I've seen you bend. I've actually seen the steel bend.
I have bent before.
Be careful where you're going.
And I have right on issues. On the doctors. And the docs have had me, you know, one time they were talking about giving birth control to children in elementary school. And I didn't realize how damn conservative I was with age. I've gotten so conservative. And I was like, no way. You know, I couldn't even fathom giving a condom to a first grader. And they tore me to bits. They're like, you're not a doctor. You don't see what we see in the ER, children coming in with herpes and this and that. And it's so much more important to have this available and have education. And I backed down. I was like, I don't know about this. You know about this more than I do. It's horrifying, though, that we're having this conversation. But the one thing I'm never going to do, I cannot placate. I will not play. For those of you listening, I cannot placate you. It doesn't mean we will always agree. We may not. And it doesn't mean I can't change my mind. And I hope it doesn't mean that you can't change your mind. But we need to keep challenging each other. And we need to keep questioning. And we need to keep looking. And we need to keep striving to be more. Because when we are more, you will have more. It might be painful, but it'll be worth it. Anyway. Aren't you glad I didn't open up the show with a fart sound now?
Oh, told you
I had a lot to talk about.
Oh, maybe we should take a breather.
Okay.
Yeah, let's take a breather.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Fine.
Okay, we have a very special guest. We haven't had Dr. V on for so long, and we were so excited to have her back.
Oh, thank God.
I know.
She was busy.
She's been very
busy. She's very popular.
I know.
Dr. Van Hurley.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. I'm so happy to be back. You know how hard this is for all of us because there's so many things going on, and one of the big things is flu season.
Tell me about it. I know I'm going to get sick. I know it. I've got to get... What do I need? I can feel it. I'm waiting every day. Even right now, I'm like this. Ooh, is that a tickle in my throat? I'm hysterical. Yeah. What do I need? Tell me everything. I need a flu shot. Tell me everything. Don't hold back.
Yeah, okay. We've got top 7. And again, these are never, Jillian, you know this. They're never in an order. But
right.
They're actually a couple of really important things to do.
Okay.
Number one, and a lot of folks don't realize this, stay well hydrated. You've got to drink at least 8 glasses of water a day.
Why is that, Dr. V? I saw that tip somewhere. What does that have to do with it?
So when your body is fighting a cold or trying to mount a fever, or your body is not sure, like that tickle in your throat that you were talking about,
right?
What we do is we start immediately having insensible losses. What are those? That means your skin is going to start cooling you down. That's our radiator of our body. And what we see is that people that get sicker more quickly and don't do as well are the ones dehydrated. So guess what? Little kids and older folks, you know, those two populations do worse with a cold and a flu. And probably, and this is my hunch, it's because of dehydration. If you hydrate yourself, your radiator works. It makes sense, right?
Yeah, I get it. Because, you know, they gave me that tip on the doctors, and I was like, I don't understand it. And I was like, why is this? And no one could answer me. So I was like, I'm not going to say this because I don't know the answer to it. That makes perfect sense. Thank you so much. Okay.
But it's because you're losing all that fluid from your skin. And so what happens is you feel sicker. And when you feel sicker, you do worse. And guess what else happens? You make more stress hormones. And we'll talk about that.
Okay.
If you look at the second thing. So what's the second thing you can do? Sleep. There's, you know, you hear this probably every single time, right, Jillian, for me?
Yeah.
7 to 8 hours of sleep. It's critical. That's a minimum. I mean, are you getting 7 to 8 hours?
Not at the moment. And let me tell you, I feel it, and I am surely trying, and I'm trying to catch up on the weekends, boy. Does that count, Dr. V? I mean, like, I'm ashamed to say this, but, like, I got 12 hours last weekend because I was just not getting any sleep in during the week, and I slept one day for 12 friggin' hours. Is that...
Oh, my goodness.
Is that extremely bad to catch up, or...?
Extremely bad, and especially after a certain age, and I think we're all at that age, meaning if you're not under 10.
Oh, I was like this. Dr. V's saying
then you can't catch up, because little kids can catch up. They can stay up for Santa Claus or for Hanukkah or all those fun things, and, you know, they can sleep through the next day, but we can't. So, you know, 12 hours in 2 days, is that what you're saying?
No. I don't want to tell you how many I was getting in over the course of the week. One day, I did 12 hours. Like, I went to bed at 6 o'clock on a Saturday. I actually got 14 hours. I didn't get up until 8 a.m. the next day because I was so wiped out. But I know better. And I honestly always listen to you. It's just been recently, my schedule has been impossible. It's been impossible. So I caught up one day for a lot of hours.
I hear you, Jillian, and so I get it. So the catching up, and that's your question, and that's another important question, is can people really get back on track? Probably not, meaning what you've lost, you actually lost. It's a little bit like an eraser on the end of your pencil. You kind of wore it out because you made too many mistakes.
Okay.
So you still have an eraser, and you want to preserve your eraser, and that's why the 12 hours you got, or 14 hours even, will help you. It'll give you a big leg up. But we know that little clock ticks, and if you don't get it daily, meaning in a 24-hour period, you're probably not able to catch up.
Okay.
So that, you know, sorry, bad news. Get the sleep, get it in while you can.
Okay.
That's a really important saying that we all have in our household. Get it in while you can, but it's not the same as the daily 24-hour period. Because remember, we also have a circadian rhythm. Our brains work in a certain way, and we need a certain amount of sleep every sunrise and sunset.
Gotcha.
So really important. Okay, so number three, to get a flu. This sounds crazy, but if you are somebody susceptible to flus or colds, you got to be aware of when you're going into crowded indoor spaces. I know it sounds odd, movie theaters, going to big, you know, places in the mall, all that. It sounds like a little bit of paranoia, and I'm not trying to instill that in people, but remember, if you're out there, be aware of people sneezing, coughing, all the things. Even at the supermarkets now, you can get the little wipe, and you can wipe the little handle on your cart.
You
know, on your trolley, and what you're pushing in the cart. All those things make a difference, because as we come together, we not only share smiles and good things, but we share viruses.
Great. What about this? Someone, okay, and don't touch your face. Is that true?
Yeah. Like,
Okay.
And not only don't touch your face, because if you're touching things, but remember, if you're coughing and sneezing, have the courtesy of not shaking someone's hand.
Right.
The other thing is that if you're having a cough or cold yourself, don't go to the market. Have someone else go for you if that's okay. And if you're the one going to the market and you're feeling fine, just remember that whoever may have touched that little rail or this little thing, you're going to the movie theater, you're hearing sneezes and coughs, be careful. These are the ways. Again, we're not germaphobes, but this is how things get spread. The reason I bring that one up, and I think it's a really important piece, is because we have a lot of patients that have asthma, that have breathing problems, or have a real tendency for sinusitis, and are more susceptible to these viruses. Those folks especially, this isn't a moment that you want to be out there in the big malls and the movie theaters. You want to be careful.
Okay.
Now, don't hold yourself back. Don't stay inside. You're not a shut-in. But remember, you're going to take a little bit of a risk.
That makes perfect sense. I love it. You're not a shut-in. I was seriously considering it, too. After seeing that movie Contagion, I was like, I don't know about this. I may never leave the house again. I get it. Just be smart about it and be wary.
Be smart.
Gotcha.
Be smart. Be clever. And just know, you go into big places, okay, bring your Purell. Just know, hands over your mouth. Teach your children that. The more people that we can get to know that, by the way, the more we prevent it. All the sneezing and coughing. Hey, everyone, use a napkin. Cough into your hand. Use your Purell. Wash your hands. All those things.
Got it. That's great. Okay.
Next one. Really important, anti-inflammatory medications. And we always go back to these. And it sounds like I become like this broken record of, are you taking your vitamin D? Are you taking your omega-3 fatty acids? Are you taking vitamin C? You know, even the products that are out there, Airborne, all of those, you've got to get those antioxidants in. And vitamin D is one of the critical things we know that really helps anti-inflammatory. Why is that so important? Because the immune system is the same system that fights cancers, diabetes, and all those things.
Wow.
And it also fights the common cold.
Vitamin
These
D.
elements are critical. So make sure you get them in.
Okay, now wait a minute. Where can we get vitamin D if it's wintertime and there's no sun?
Right. You have to get it by prescription or, and we recommend as endocrinologists, 1,000 international units, so IU, to 2,000 IU a day. You've got to talk to your own doctor about this. This is for kids, moms, dads, elderly, you know, all of us. 1,000 to 2,000 IU or international units a day. And you can find that over the counter. The rest and all the doses that I prescribe are actually, as I mentioned, prescription. You've got to get that from a doctor. 50,000 international units. Some people need to take that a couple times a week. Some people take it once a month. Some people take that once a week. But you've got to see a doctor, and you have to have those levels checked. Also, at the same time, you're asking your doctor, hey, is my vitamin D good enough? Am I doing well? Because that will prevent your immune system from getting a flu. I mean, it really beefs it up. Ask about vitamin C. Ask about all the other things. We've got grapefruit seed extract that we're seeing now really helps people also to fight off the common cold.
Wow. Okay. That's great to know.
Anti-inflammatories, but you've got to beef up on it, and it's a tougher one to do.
But it's so easy. It really, it does seem like, come on, it, you know, at breakfast, you could snap your little vitamins in there, and because once I go down, I'm down for, I'm so friggin' old these days, I'm going down for weeks at a time. So,
well, no, that's only because you're wearing yourself out. We're all, if you do the candle at both ends, then we are all going to be exhausted. So the anti-inflammatories are a critical piece to help the immune system. So there's no question about that one.
All right, I'm convinced. So, I'm doing it. I'm going to be good, Dr. V.
And you know what? Demand it. Go to your doctor, go to your, you know, nurse practitioner, go to whoever you see and say, hey, I need to get my level up. What is my level? Vitamin D-wise. And a lot of folks don't even know how to test it. They don't know what to do. Doctors know. But the main thing for doctors is they have to be asked because they will not do it in a primary way.
Okay. Well, you heard her, everyone. Ask your doctor about your vitamin D levels.
and ask about your vitamin C and ask and make sure any other antioxidants I have to be on, grapefruit seed extract, anything else, vitamin C, how much am I on, what do I need?
Can you tell me the dose on vitamin C, actually? Because I've heard conflicting things about that. Because I know that like a vitamin C inhibits the production of a virus. How much, though?
Yeah. So a lot of folks will go up to the thousands. And what I say is in all the multivitamins and the over-the-counter supplements, but I say mostly the multivitamins, and what I like more is your orange a day. So I would actually say have a citrus fruit a day, and that's going to give you the best vitamin C. So
here I am thinking about supplementing every hour on the hour, right? And I've completely forgotten
about orange. Orange. So guinea pigs can't actually metabolize vitamin C in any other way. So guess what you do? You slice up an orange every day for a guinea pig. Wouldn't you do it for yourself?
Yeah. All right. I didn't even, why? What is wrong with me that I didn't even think to eat an orange? It's pathetic.
Yeah, have an orange. That's all you need.
Excellent.
And guess what? You get the fiber and you get some of the tannins that are in the white part. They think that, you know, we have an idea that that may be anti-cancer. So
really?
Have an orange.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that I can do. I'll do that every morning with my breakfast.
That's a really good one. So, of course, number five, we always think about the flu shot. The flu shot is so controversial.
Why?
I mean, there's huge controversy. So there's some neurologic issues. Swine flu shots and different things have led to people having neurologic diseases. Guillain-Barré is a fancy name for a couple of things that relate to people not doing well neurologically. And these are real diseases. And in some people, if you get a vaccine, any vaccine, actually, in my opinion, you have to be careful because you're priming or trying to teach your immune system to do better. Why I'm bringing it up is a lot of people don't want the flu shot because they say, A, am I at risk for getting something else?
Right.
And B, am I going to get the cold? All the studies show that for both of those, the likelihood you would get something else is less than 1%, and you're not going to get a cold from it. It's anecdotal. There are millions of people every year, and flu shots are out there right now in September, so they're available. So people need the flu shot, especially those with diabetes, cancer, asthma, any kind of risk for autoimmunity, meaning lupus, other diseases, get your flu shot. It makes a difference. And guess what? If you don't get the flu, someone else in your family or around you that you may cough on also won't get the flu.
That's right. That's true.
So
you just pass it back and forth.
Flu shot, really important. And a tough one because, again, there's the whole thought about getting shots. I don't know what you think about that, Jillian, but it is controversial.
You know, Dr. Van Hurley, I've been trying to educate myself by listening to all of you doctors, and I've actually decided that I want the flu shot. So, you know, I know this has come up with vaccinating children and where I sort of, you know, my like whooping cough. If a baby gets whooping cough, they could die. So I think you have to talk. I'm just going to say to everyone, all the other laymen out there, discuss these things with your doctor. It's become very trendy to listen to, I hate to say this, I don't mean to judge anyone, but to listen to kind of Hollywood celebrities pontificate about medicine, but they didn't go to medical school. You really need to talk to your doctor, just the way Dr. Van Hurley is explaining it to us all now. Ask them the right questions and then weigh everything. Like, I might not take a chance on chickenpox. I think, okay, I won't take the chance on the chickenpox vaccine because my kid can survive chickenpox. But babies can die from whooping cough, so I'm going to take the chance there. Have an educated conversation with your medical professional and make informed choices. That's what I'm going to tell you. And I, for one, am getting the damn flu shot.
Well, here's another thing, which is a really big eye-opener to a lot of my patients. They'll say, oh, I don't want any of these vaccines. And I said, oh, okay. So that's what we call attenuated viruses or bacteria or other things, meaning that the way the vaccine is made, it's actually brought down to a very low level so you don't get sick from it, but it's just enough so that the pattern of that bacteria or virus is recognized by the immune system, right?
Yeah.
That's how you build up immunity to it. Guess what? If you get chickenpox, if you get the flu, if you get, you know, whooping cough, your immune system gets the whole bang. It gets the big disease.
Right.
And that can trigger anything else. So what we are saying as physicians, and, you know, I think it's just as you say, go to your doctor. You've got to ask this.
Yeah.
But wait a minute. If you actually get the virus or bacteria, like the real thing, not in a test tube that's made specially, quietly, so the immune system has a little inkling, but not a lot.
Right.
If you get the big gun,
you're in
that's
trouble.
Worse probably than getting the vaccine.
Yeah. Right. Right. Please, again, you guys, I'm saying this to all the laymen. Don't function in the dark. Don't listen to propaganda. You need to speak directly with your doctor and ask all of these questions so you can make the safest, most informed choice for you and your family.
Perfect.
Okay, so, next one.
Number six. Okay, this sounds really simple, but really true. Control the amount of stress in your life. How do we do that? Because what we see is that people get sick because stress mounts. The endocrine system makes more cortisol. We're on adrenaline, all those things. There's a description of SOS syndrome, which is when people are going and going and going. They go on their first break, their first holiday, and they have their heart attack the next morning. And that has to do, again, with the immune system being overtaxed. It really goes back to the sleep issue, and it goes back to how do you figure in your life that you can have a healthy diet as much as you can, that you can have good sleep, do exercise, and keep your brain thinking well, that you're not going too slow, because there's nothing good about being a couch potato,
right.
But also that you're not going too fast. So I know this sounds so simple, and Jillian, I know you're working on this in everything you're doing in your life to try and get, you know, patients and people out there to move, but how do you reduce stress? It's a really critical thing. I put it at number six just because, again, they're not in ranking of importance, but it's a really important thing we have to remember.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's almost un-American to not be stressed. Like we, you know, I got into this conversation the other day about, you know, shouldn't we do a 4-day work week? And they do it in Europe. And I was thinking, well, Europe, you know, how many people live in, you know, one small country in Europe? We have 340 million Americans. And you think to yourself, oh my God, if I take that day off, somebody else will work it. And then I'm going to lose my job. And then I'm going to, in that spiral of fear, starts to go out of control. And I think that we can never, as Americans, we're such a competitive culture in society that we can never relax. But guys, if you don't listen to Van Hurley and you constantly function in this place of fear and you think, you know, if I don't do it, somebody else will do it and I'll be replaced. I'm replaceable. The reality is, listen to what she's saying. You could drop of a heart attack. You could come down with something serious like pneumonia. And then you know what? Somebody else will get your job because you won't be out for one day. You're going to be out for weeks or, you know, God forbid, the rest of your life. So we really need to be smart and put these things in perspective. And I'm trying. God, I'm such a
bad. It's hard. It's the hardest thing. I tell my boys every morning, every night, I whisper in their ears, love yourself, be good to yourself. And holy caroli, I don't even know if I'm doing it myself. I mean, you and I go back and forth, Jillian, on this because
I know
this is critical. But how do you do it? Just as you said. However, if you look at the flu and the risk for getting the flu, honestly, this is a huge component. How many times don't you hear and see people running 100 miles an hour before you know it, they're laid up. They've got influenza big time. They've got something else, God forbid. But the flu is like the first entree to getting sick. So if you can prevent it by stress reduction, honestly, in my opinion, you're doing great. And you know that you're probably putting a lot of other really bad diseases also at bay. So kind of use the flu in a good way to say, hey, where's my barometer? Like, what am I doing? I didn't get the flu. I never get the flu every year. Wonderful. That's really smart. That means there's something about what you're doing that's correct. And I would say, and again, this is anecdotal. This is not scientific, because I always tell you the scientific stuff. This is telling me that you're probably going to be okay for a lot of other diseases like cancer, like autoimmunity, and so forth. So think about it. Rest up. Get rid of all those albatrosses on your neck. Get rid of all that, you know, the work you have to tow. Like you said, take the day off. Do what you have to do. It's okay.
Yeah, because the alternative is unacceptable.
And unacceptable.
That's the reality.
And it's happening to all of us. So is the economy still going to be a struggle? Yes. Is stress still going to be there? Yes. So the most important thing is what you said, Jillian. Unload this. Just unload it and know that you are susceptible for the flu. And if you're susceptible for the flu, guess what? You're susceptible for all the other stuff.
Yeah, that's so true. We don't really think about that. You know, when you said that just now and you said, look, if you're able to hold the flu at bay, chances are you'll be able to hold everything else at bay. But if the flu gets you, chances are other things that are far more dangerous will get you too. And Janice and I were like this. Oh.
No, oh. That's profound.
It is profound. It really is. And it's such a simple.
I scared you both, but think about it. It. Like you said, Jillian, this is how the immune system works. We
right.
talk about this all the time, right?
Of course. No, you're right. It's common sense, but it's just to get that smackdown is very eye-opening, especially.
Yeah, I like
the
word smack.
Yeah. So, you know.
Get that. Back down. I like how you said it. Get it out there and understand it's all the same immune system.
Of course.
So the last thing, number seven, the top seven.
I'm scared of seven.
Really
oh, God.
Basic. I feel like a kindergarten teacher, and I'd love to be a kindergarten teacher, by the way, but it's wash your hands. They have all over every hospital, what are the 10 best things you can do to stop a flu, to stop a cold. It really is what we call fomites. Fomites are not our hands only, but other obscure objects that we all share, and our hands tend to be one of those, and they're not obscure. They're part of our body. But what happens is that we carry organisms and viruses for many hours on our skin. We carry them on all kinds of things, our handbags, doctors, our stethoscopes. So any doctor that I work with washes their hands, wipes down with an alcohol wipe, their stethoscope, you know, their hammer, anything that, you know, that we look at for reflexes, all those things, we wipe them down because we personally, all of us in the world, and especially doctors and nurses, we're the ones transferring this stuff. So we have to take responsibility. We're not, again, germaphobes. That's not what we're talking about. But we know that if you wash your hands, top 10 reasons, top 10 fingers, all those things together, and this is really number seven for that reason. If you wash your hands, carry a little bottle of some kind of, you know, sanitizing Purell. You don't have to have a brand name. It can be any of those. But you've got to have that because we are the ones spreading these viruses and bacteria.
Dr. Van Harley, thank you so much. This has been a good eye-opener that I know that I, for one, really needed because it's like, you know some of it in the back of your mind, but you think you're going to get away with it.
Of course we do.
And you know what? You're really, and by the way, I never have gotten away with it. And you are, of course, phenomenal and the best guest. Please tell, I know you're, I am almost loath to do this to you, but because I know you're just swamped, but how do the listeners get in touch with you? If you want them to, I know Dr. Van Harley's like this. Oh, God, I can't take it.
VanHurley.com. That's the way they can reach us. And Dr. Van Harley, DrVanHurley.com. And you know what? Thank you, Jillian, because you're a really great person to make a difference for all these folks because you really care.
Oh, well, thank you for being with us. You know, we worship and adore you. You are invaluable, and I cannot wait to talk to you very soon.
We're all in this together. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. V.
All right, then. We gotta go.
Of course we do. My gosh.
You
what
said
would
goodbye
happen?
To Dr. V.
What I... would happen if you didn't get to do your, you know,
I know.
Time
I...
to go.
I'm such a jerk, aren't
get
I?
Get out the hickory stick. Alrighty. Okay. Well, goodbye, everyone. Janice is in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. Peace.
Save me from this prison. Lord, help me get away. 'Cause only you can save me now from this misery. I've been lost in my own place, and I'm getting weary.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.